The Vietnam War was and still is a controversial war. Some people wonder why America got involved in the first place. But the thing I'm wondering is, why did it fall on African Americans to bear the brunt of the weight in Vietnam when there were already fiery domestic issues at home? At what cost was the sacrifice of African American men and their families for a vain battle they hardly cared for? I may not be able to answer all of these questions, but after presenting the facts of the case, I will leave it up to you to decide for yourselves. Was the war in Vietnam really worth the sacrifice? The Vietnam War saw the highest proportion of African Americans to ever serve in an American war, according to John Sibley Butler in the Oxford Companion to American Military History. African Americans bore a heavy burden, especially early on in the war, even though many were volunteers at that point. According to the Encyclopedia of the Vietnam War, African Americans accounted for 20% of combat-related deaths early on in the war. In 1965 alone, African Americans represented 1/4 of soldiers killed in action in the Army. From the outset of the war, the use or misuse of African-American troops brought up charges of racism. Despite the military being integrated after World War II by Executive Order 9981 of 1948, racial tensions persisted within all branches of the armed forces. The Vietnam War was littered with race riots on military bases and ships, especially in 1968 after the assassination of MLK, as volunteers and draftees included African Americans frustrated with the war and the lack of racial progress back home. Race riots in Los Angeles and Harlem negatively impacted the military, sparking more race-related conflicts in Vietnam, says David Kofi, a contributor to the Encyclopedia of the Vietnam War. Civil rights leaders, including Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., described the Vietnam War as, quote, a white man's war, a black man's fight. MLK maintained that young African American men represented an unfair share of early draftees and that African Americans were more likely to see combat. The draft proved to do exactly that. According to the Encyclopedia of the Vietnam War, selective service or draft regulations allowed for men to dodge the draft based on college attendance and essential civilian occupations. This policy favored white-collar, middle and upper class whites. In turn, the majority of draftees were poor, uneducated, blue-collar workers or unemployed. These qualities ran deep through the black community, leading to the drafting of a higher proportion of blacks and little to no African-American representation on local and state draft boards. The topic of the Vietnam War, believe it or not, really hits home for me. This is not only a historical matter. To me, it's personal. I talked to my dad about his family's experience with the war. As an avid history buff and historical fiction author, he has extensive knowledge of our family's history. He was only a child at the time, born in 1963. Here's what he had to say.
I lost a cousin in Vietnam. His name was Walter Wesley Hutton. We called him Butch. It was his nickname. He was in the Army, and he was in Vietnam on patrol, and he died on my birthday, September 17th, 1970. He was only 17 years old. What happened to him was he was on patrol, as I said, and he was walking in the jungle, and he stepped onto a booby trap. It was a what they call a punji pit, which includes sharpened spears, basically at the bottom of a 6-foot pit. It's a very narrow pit. And if you step on top of that pit and fall through, you're impaled. And that's what happened to my cousin. He was killed instantly. It was pretty traumatic for our family, just because of the condition of his body. He suffered, as you can imagine, severe injuries, and he could not have a funeral where there was an open casket because of the severity of his injuries. As I said, I was very young. It was my birthday. I was seven years old the day he died. So I was very young, but in consideration in the years since, you wonder what it was all about and why he had to die and why he was only 17 years old, which meant that he was not yet eligible to be drafted. So he volunteered, and he volunteered to go over there ahead of time. And that I don't really understand. And then for him to die so senselessly, again, was not something that I was able to understand at seven, and something that I'm still not able to understand at the age of 55.
Many people nowadays will call Walter a patriot, a true American hero. He volunteered to go to war early. He had to get his parents' signatures just to enlist in the army because he was underage. He didn't have to do that. Something compelled him to sign up, and that, people would say, made him a hero. In the months following the war, however, that sentiment was not the same. After the end of the war, the veterans' transition back into civilian life was horrible. Protesters of the war forgot to separate the soldiers from the core issue of the war itself. Instead of blaming the U.S. government, protesters turned on the returning soldiers, who were mostly draftees who had no choice but to fight in Vietnam. In the eyes of the people, the soldiers were just as evil as the war itself. The veterans were quickly ostracized and famously labeled baby killers because of the horrific treatment of civilians in Vietnam who were caught in the crossfire of bullets and napalm. It was only until President Reagan came along in the 1980s and rekindled the old idea of patriotism. According to the article, Americanism Returns, Reagan advocated for renewed pride in the United States and its military. In a televised speech before his election in 1980, Reagan confidently stated, quote, "America is back and standing tall." Now, what does the newly elected president have to do with Vietnam? Well, in 1980, Reagan declared that the Vietnam War was, quote, "a noble cause." In the revived debate regarding Vietnam, national favor began to shift toward those who had fought in the war, and in the view of many Americans, these people had not been properly recognized for their sacrifices. Those who had first blamed only the soldiers for the war now realized that their argument should have been with U.S. policy and not with the brave men and women who had served during Vietnam. At long last, Vietnam War veterans were getting the recognition they deserved. The dedication of the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. in 1982 fostered a new sense of healing. Vietnam War service now became a badge of honor. According to the article Americanism Returns, editorial cartoons in the 80s insisted that a politician who had not served in Vietnam could not serve in public office. In the end, 20 African Americans received the Congressional Medal of Honor. These men were highly trained, motivated professionals, contrary to popular beliefs. By the end of the war, the casualty rates for African Americans was reduced to 12% due to efforts by military leaders to decrease the number of African American troops on the front lines. Despite all this, racial tensions after the men returned home did not dwindle, continuing into the late 70s and through the 80s and 90s. However, conscious efforts by African American veterans and their families made sure that even today, the sacrifice of too many African American lives in Vietnam will never be forgotten. This has been the story of the African American soldiers who fought and died in Vietnam from 1954 to the end of U.S. involvement in 1973. Now that I have presented the evidence, I will leave you with the same question I had before. Was the war in Vietnam really worth the sacrifice? Or was the bloodshed all for nothing? You decide.